Hey everybody, and welcome to the first day of 7 days, 7 podcasts here in Inside the Ropes. It is WrestleMania week. People are excited about either WrestleMania or Supercard of Honor or WrestleCon. There's tons going on in New York and New Jersey this weekend, so tons to do and discuss this week. But obviously, the beginning is interview cast. I'd mentioned on our latest Retro Raw that we weren't able to get Court Bauer tied down because he had a lot of stuff on leading up to the MLW shows this week in New York, but we are going to have him on soon. But today is all about Jim Ross, and he's on the show ahead of Raw tonight, and he's got shows in New York this weekend. But I basically ask him what's going on. You know, it was his last day in WWE on Friday. Where's he going to go next? What's he going to do? Some WrestleMania memory discussions, some chat on Asuka, the length of the WrestleMania card, and a couple of your questions as well. So I hope you guys enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, as always, go on to Twitter and tag us, tag Jim at JRSBBQ, and let us know that you enjoyed the episode, you enjoyed the interview, and all that good stuff. So I hope that you guys are excited about WrestleMania week coming up. We've got a podcast every day, whether it's in the main feed or on Patreon. So today is interview cast. Tomorrow we're going to have Over to You on Patreon with me and David. Wednesday will be Inside the Ropes with me and Sandra. There'll be content every single day going up for you to enjoy. So thank you for all your support. Please do go to patreon.com/InsideTheRopes and give us some support if you can. It keeps us going, means we're able to all do as many podcasts as we do for you. And also head over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/InsideTheRopes. Our Chris Jericho WrestleMania series has just finished. Interview stuff with him up there. We're going to be getting some interviews in New York this week, so that's going to be cool to check out. We hope that you will join us. And if you're at home watching WrestleMania and the week from the comfort of your own home, then we can hopefully bring you some kind of analysis and interviews and stuff from wherever's happening in New York. So thanks for all the support, everybody. And without further ado, here's Jim Ross. And we're back here on Inside the Ropes. It is WrestleMania week. It is the Monday of WrestleMania week. We've just kicked off. And who else would we speak to but the voice of wrestling himself, good old JR Jim Ross. Jim, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really good, Kenny. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's another WrestleMania week rolls round, and there's a lot to talk about. But I guess the first thing to kind of touch on is that you put on social media last week that you'd had your last day with WWE. They'd sent a documentary crew down to your house to do some filming for an Undertaker documentary. So I guess, can you kind of fill people in on the story and kind of how you're feeling right now and what we can expect going forward for you?
I feel great. I fulfilled all my obligations. I was there 26 years. I had a magnificent run. Vincent McMahon was very generous in all things, especially the money. And for that, I'm very grateful. So, great run. Best move I ever made in wrestling was going to work for WWE in 1993, bar none, without a doubt. But folks kind of forget I had 19 years in the business before I got there. So it wasn't like I was discovered. I was a overnight sensation type thing. So, but it was a great run, and I'm very grateful for it. And when my contract ended, which ended this past Friday, Vince and I talked several times going into that day. And, you know, we both, you know, I wanted to do something else or be used more. And, it was not in the cards for me to be back on the WWE air. They decided to go a different direction. I never did understand why. I was never told why. I assume it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that they perceived I was probably too old and that my best days had passed me by. Could have been that. I don't know of anything else it could have been. So in any event, I got paid a lot of money to be there last year, and I worked twice. I went to Saudi Arabia for an overnight sensation, a plane ride from hell type situation. And then I did a little cameo, Lawler and I, at Raw 25. So and that was it. So, and I, after losing my wife last April, I found it very challenging to stay home alone. Just be perfectly transparent. Yeah. And the longer I stayed home in an empty house, missing her, the more depression I had to ward off. So all I wanted to do was just to work. And so now that I'm not going to be in WWE, I have opportunities to do more work. And so we're working on those situations now, trying to get all the I's dotted and T's crossed. And hopefully my tenure will eventually lead me to AEW, which is where we've been negotiating and talking for quite some time. And so that's kind of what my goal is to get contract finished with AEW, where I can start to work there and be a part of their presentation in May in Las Vegas for their pay-per-view Double or Nothing. So life is good. There's no controversy here in me leaving WWE. My contract ended. I decided not to move forward with negotiations. I'm sure I could have negotiated something with them. Vince was certainly amenable to that, but he was also very supportive of what I'm, of me leaving and getting back on back in the game, so to speak. Because if anybody can understand how important it is for some of us to be active, it's him. He's still on TV at 73. So he understood that with me. We have some of the same wiring in that regard. So no controversy, just another opportunity. And I hope to have that finalized by, I don't know when the show is going to drop, but I hope
it'll be today.
All this finalized. Okay. Well, I hope this is all finalized by Wednesday. That's my target I'll be arriving in New York on Wednesday. I hope that when I get off the plane on Wednesday, that everybody can tell me, okay, your deal is done. We're going, let's go. So that's kind of where we are. It's pretty straightforward.
Well, something I wanted to ask you about that was kind of interesting to me. This is like five questions in one, but so one of the podcasts we do is looking at Raw 20 years ago. We review episodes of Raw 20 years ago, and it's kind of during that time where you were coming back, but they were trying to make you the heel character and Michael Cole's on commentary. And it feels like just over the years in WWE, there was various kind of, I don't want to say attempts as if it was some sort of like shady thing, but there was kind of, can we replace JR? Can we move on to somebody else? Yada, yada, yada. And every time they would end up coming back to you because you were the one that everybody wanted. You were the voice that people wanted to hear. And I know that you've said a couple of times, whether it's social media or on your podcasts in the last kind of few months, that there's critics who maybe don't think that you want to be a play-by-play guy anymore or do it anymore. So I guess at this point, do you feel that there is a point to prove, or is it just a case of you you just want to get to work and do what you do best?
I think any performer isn't being honest if they don't say they don't have something to prove every time out. If they have a different mindset that, it's like being a WWE talent. So let's say this past weekend, I'm not going to give you my best match because I'm going to wait and give that to you at WrestleMania, which is just around the corner. And I think, honestly, most people are going to give you everything they got because that's their ego and our own performance level insecurities. Of course I have something to prove. I've had something to prove every single time I've walked out there since I started. Guys in the television world today, people got to understand, anywhere they live, they can look at their television and look at the stereotypical look and sound of their presenters. And I did not fit the stereotypical mold that the WWE covets. Great look. I missed on that one. No accent of any discernible notice. I missed that one. I have 3 bouts of facial paralysis, which prevents me from smiling. So I missed that look deal. So I always had a gun to my head, at least in my eyes. Now, somebody may say, well, we never said that. We never approached it that way. It's how I felt. And that's how I reacted, and that's how I prepared, and that's how I worked. So when I get back in the game, I do expect to have some level of a chip on my shoulder, but not angry chip, just a I'm going to prove to people that I can still do this job. And at one time, I was very lucky to do a play-by-play. At one time, I was considered to be the voice of wrestling. I believe that still to be true. In my heart, I feel that way. So I'm anxious to get started. I'm anxious to get started, hopefully, with a brand-new, young, enthusiastic company. I'm going to be able to help mentor talent and be a part of the management team if everything goes according to Hoyle. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for me to stay, get back in the game and get out of the house and be constructive and give back to our business. It's not all about that payday, even though that payday is pretty damn awesome. It's about giving back to the wrestling business, which has given me everything in my life since 1974. So I think I owe it to the business to try to give something back. At least that's my attitude, Kenny, going into this thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. What's also kind of interesting about it is that 20 years ago you were on the, you know, you were on the WWF team in the Monday Night Wars with WCW. And I think, I don't know about you, but anybody who I talk to, whether it's wrestling fans or people in wrestling, there seems to just be this kind of attitude of some competition would be good. It would make everything better. You know, WWE would maybe be forced to amp things up a little bit. Alternative is good. I mean, for you now going into this, maybe being part of the, no, I don't want to say the new startup, but the alternative, is that an exciting prospect for you that you're not part of the established machine and there is going to be an element of underdog when it starts?
Oh, maybe. You know, look, the underdog is if you're competing. For me, if AEW wants is foolish enough to set their sights on competing with WWE, then we're all wasting our time. That's the silliest thing in the world. Well, they're gonna challenge WWE. The Monday Night Wars are gonna start again. Come on, that ain't gonna happen. The issue is that it's a startup company with new ideas, new young management. You know, Tony Khan owns this thing. The president of the company and his family. You know, they're entrepreneurs. They're successful. You know, they own the Fulham soccer team, football team there, and they own the Jacksonville Jaguars, the NFL. They're entrepreneurs. They make most of the car bumpers that are sold in the world. So they're very successful. And they have a vision of what they believe this whole process should resemble. And it's very exciting. So I'm at a place where I can be use my experience, my commitment to the game in a positive way, and be in the game. You know, maybe it's my ego, Kenny. Maybe it's just my, you know, JR boy, he's really feeling good about himself today. But when you get to the back nine of life and you've done this all your life and you believe that you can still play, you can still do your job, I would be doing a huge disservice to myself if I didn't want to pursue that. So, and luckily for me, WWE may have said, well, JR, time is passing by or whatever, they say, I have another company here that believes that not to be true. And I believe it not to be true. So that's where it is. It's just another opportunity to get back in the game that I love. And if everything goes according to Hoyle, by midweek, we'll have all that stuff addressed.
And you touched on it there that, you know, because some people do think, oh, Monday Night Wars again, it's, you know, that's not what it's going to be. But what do you think is the, do you think the idea of AEW being an alternative that people can check out for something else is the kind of way to go? Like, how do you see it kind of being marketed to wrestling fans when it gets going?
There's no difference in what AEW is going to do and what all these other wrestling companies are trying to do, whether it's Ring of Honor or MLW or whatever it may be, Impact. Everybody needs to brand their product with the individuality that identifies their brand to the audience, to the target audience. We have to wait and see how this product is going to, what it's going to resemble. I am under the impression from the very limited meetings that I personally have had with AEW that they're going to go for a very athletic-oriented, reality-based in-ring product. Does that mean they're not going to have any comedy or any shenanigans, if you will, whatever it may be? Of course not. But I think bell to bell, they're going to be very protective of their presentation, and that the presentation is built on physicality and personal issues and intensity and fundamentally sound wrestling, then that's right down my alley. I can help present that. So I think it's no different than everybody else. Everybody's got to develop their own identity, their own style, their own feel. And that remains to be seen what that's going to be. We'll get a better feel for it in May in Las Vegas on Memorial Day weekend when they do their Double or Nothing show. So you get a better feel for what they're going to do bell to bell. But I'm very optimistic it's going to be somewhat old school in theory, but maybe not old school in presentation. Fundamental soundness, physical toughness, and don't make me roll my eyes or something stupid seems to be where they're headed, and I like that.
And you know, one of your, you know, in your book that we're going to talk about a little bit throughout this is, you in the first book that you wrote, it was obviously your time up until WrestleMania 15. But I guess in your second book that you're going to do, you're going to maybe cover more of you being the behind the scenes talent relations guy. There must be a lot of stuff that you were able to do back in those days that you can bring to AEW as well as being an on air talent.
I hope so. You know, that's they're thinking that. And, you know, again, if we just get all the lawyers to get their I's dotted and T's crossed, they seem to have they're all lawyers, even mine on my side, my representatives. I have more a sense of urgency to get this done and behind me than probably anybody in the equation. But I have to be patient and learn that everything's not built around me and that these other guys have other contracts they're dealing with as well. But I really believe that by midweek we'll know yay or nay. I'm either in or I'm not. And if I am, then here we go. If I'm not, then I'll do something else. It's just that simple to me. I'm in a very lucky spot, Kenny. I don't have to work. Thank God. The wrestling business has been wonderful to me, especially this. So, you know, I'm in a real good place right now. And hopefully this will all get ironed out in a couple of days. And we'll start a new adventure. The journey continues. I don't ever plan on retiring. I've said that many, many times. Retire and do what? I can just tell you, having a few days off and being here in solitary is not my idea of a good day. So I want to be busy doing something. Hey, I got a lot of shows this weekend in New York City. One at noon at the Gotham Comedy Club. One Sunday morning in Jersey at one of the hotels there in Jersey at the Meadowlands. Sheridan, I think. Maybe the Hilton. I can't. It's all – look it up. And I got one Monday night after Raw is over, a midnight Monday night show that is going to be an adventure because it's going to start at midnight after Raw. So Conrad Thompson and Bruce and myself, Bruce Pritchard, then the King and I are doing our show on Saturday at noon. And for all those shows, yeah, you can get tickets in advance if you choose to. All of our international fans are traveling over. We'd love to see you, but you can also buy them at the door. So if your plans change, or you reconsider, hey, let's go to JR's show or whatever, you can buy your tickets at the door and without any problem. So it's things I'm going to be doing things like that if I'm not doing other things. I've got to be busy. So, you know, maybe I should start playing golf.
Well,
need to give me something to do.
It's funny because I was actually, the last couple of days I've been watching the US Office on Netflix. And people who have office jobs, I guess they work all their life because all they want to do is retire. But when you work in something that you love and you thrive in it, then what would be the point in stopping doing that? Like, why would you want to?
If you got a job that you really love, like I have loved wrestling, then it really isn't work. The hard part is, I was looking around today, you know, getting ready to pack. Do I take two bags or one bag? What's clothes do I pack? You know, what's the weather going to be like? Those things, then putting your boarding pass, confirming your reservation on the plane, making sure you got a ride, all that good stuff. The TSA people who think they're the militia, that's more of a pain in the ass than anything else. But going to work and being at work is just absolutely wonderful. I there's nothing. The longer hours the better. The more days I work, the better. I'm a workhorse by heart, and that's how I was raised in my family. My family was that way. A great work ethic that I inherited, and so I don't have any desire. My kids ask the same question. I had a guy ask me the other day, almost got in my face about, I can't believe you're going back to work doing something else. Or you're leaving WWE, and I said, well, what do you mean? Well, man, you got money, yeah, and you're healthy, yeah, so you should just be traveling. I said, I am going to travel. I'm going to travel to work. then I'm going to travel home. I said, see, you don't understand. I've been lucky all my life. I've had a job that doesn't feel like work. Apparently, my friend who's suggesting I need to slow down and just travel, like an AARP member, an old timer, he's never had a job that he liked as much as I like mine. So that's the story on that deal. So it'll be fun. It'll be another chapter that started in 1974. And quite frankly, I'm 67 years old. I don't feel it. Healthy, thank God. But I've been a wrestling fan since I was probably 8 or 10. So over 50 years of my life, I've been in love with this business. So why would I walk away from it? That'd be like walking away from a great relationship. That makes no sense. So that's kind of where I am with this deal. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a big week in New York. I look forward to seeing a lot of friends. It'll be different because I'm not going to be a part of Access. I'm not going to WrestleMania. And not because of protest. You know, when I went to those events, I was I got great treatment. I got great seats or get you know, whatever, my credentials, whatever. That deal's over. So instead of fighting the throngs, I'll be more than happy to watch WrestleMania on the WWE Network on my iPad and just be tickled to death because I'm not battling the crowds or sitting there 7 hours with about 10 different bathroom breaks for a guy like me.
But yeah, and you mentioned the shows that you're doing. You can go to even just your Twitter page, JRSBBQ, to get the details of it. But I guess what's interesting about the shows that you're doing this weekend is the one on Saturday afternoon at the Gotham Comedy Club with Jerry Lawler. You know, it's been advertised together one last time, because we don't know what the future is going to hold. That must be cool for you guys to, at the very least, get to be on a stage again and talk WrestleMania, because you guys have done WrestleManias together. You've been a part of loads of them. There's a lot of memories to talk about.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for me. I always value those times with Jerry. Look, we're not getting any younger. We have to face facts sometimes. Neither of us are getting any younger, but neither of us have any plans on retiring. I asked Jerry one time when I saw him at a show. He'd been wrestling. He'd wrestled a couple times the previous weekend. I said, How long are you going to continue to wrestle on these weekend shows? And he said, until they stop booking me. And that's what he looked at. It wasn't like I think I'll quit when I'm, a couple more years, whatever. There was never nothing. No timeline, no deadlines. I'm going to wrestle until the promoters stop booking me. And I kind of have that same attitude. I'm going to work in wrestling as long as somebody in wrestling will have me, because I feel compelled to give something back and to not step away from the product that I love. So, but Jerry and I, he's still a WWE. I don't know what he's going to be doing, limited schedule, I'm assuming. But, you never know how politics affect us. You never know how policies change. So I never predict how many more shows Jerry and I can do. We're doing one for Conrad Thompson at StarCast 2 in Las Vegas in May. But I just don't know how many more opportunities that he and I will get to mesh our schedules and to do more of these shows. If it were up to me, we'd do them on a regular basis because I love working with him. They're so entertaining. We have great stories. And if you get good Q&As and a good host that can move the thing along, man, these shows are kick-ass shows. So I'm excited about Saturday. And I will always look at Saturday will be like, I don't know how many more JR the King shows we got in us, but we're damn sure we got one more, we know, and that's Saturday at noon at the Gotham Comedy Club, and it should be a dandy. We're going to go on that show thinking that. And we're going to go on that show understanding that we may not have too many more of these available. So it's just a cool thing, man. I'm excited to work with Jerry. He always made me look better than I was. He was always the star of the show, our team. And, my job was that of a point guard or somebody to get the ball to the scorers. And he was a scorer, and it was my job to get him the ball or in his hands so he could score. And I think we did a pretty good job of that.
Well, Jerry said a couple of times in interviews that his favorite match that he ever called was Rock and Hogan at WrestleMania 18. Mm-hmm. And we're at WrestleMania week, so everybody's talking about all these different memories. I'm not asking you to pick your favorite because I know it's an impossible question. But in terms of WrestleMania matches, is Rock and Hogan up there as one of the ones that just the atmosphere, even watching it on TV, just felt above, most things that you would ever get to be a part of?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be in any conversation of any WrestleMania matches that I've been a part of. you know, being able to call three Austin Rock WrestleMania main events was huge in my career. Austin and Brett, WrestleMania 13, the I Quit match was about as perfectly executed for all the facets of it, including a special guest referee, including an I Quit stipulation, including the blood involved, the drama with Brett and Steve was unbelievable. It's a clinic. It's a clinic. I thought that the Austin, I mentioned Austin and Rock, when Shawn Michaels came back, I think he had a match with Triple H when he came back from his long sabbatical of about 4 years. That was huge in my eyes because I worked very diligently to convince Shawn that he should reconsider and come back and because he has so much to offer. I said, I don't even care if you wrestle, but I get you in my locker room, our locker room, and you can have a positive impact on some of these kids. It's big. And so not only did he do that, he's still doing that. He's also, but he found out he loves it. He also came back and had some very meaningful matches. So those are all always on that scorecard. You know, the TLC match, Edge and Christian, Dudley's and Hardy's, was tremendous. Hard to ever forget that one. So there's a lot of great stuff. You know, the match that I get asked the most questions about wasn't even at WrestleMania. It was when Undertaker pitched Foley off the top of the cell and he landed right at our feet on the concrete. That was an unexpected. I didn't know that was even going to happen. So that was always going to be there in that scenario, Kenny, that match, whether it's a WrestleMania match or not. But WrestleMania is a special thing, man. When all the young guys in a territory in the 70s, all the old veterans said, well, hey, kid, someday you might get lucky to get booked in New York. And so I thought that was probably very far-fetched because I was never going to be a wrestler. I was always going to be, at that time, I was a referee. And then I started broadcasting, and then I never really thought about going to WWE until I moved that along, and I was in Atlanta working for Turner at TBS. Then it became more of a, well, this could happen. And then finally it did, and it was a great thing for me. So I've had a real blessed career that I could not have done without the support of the fans and the talents and, you know, all that. So I'm just living life the best I can and having fun and knowing that every day I get up is a day I'm blessed. And every day that I get up is a day that I'm going to be doing something involving the business that I love.
Well, you know, it's funny, today's April the 1st, and it was 17 years ago was WrestleMania 17 today. And that's the one that most fans talk about as being the best WrestleMania ever or their favorite. Do you think it is the best WrestleMania ever? And why do you think people just, that's the one that they always go to and they say that was the best? What makes that stand above the rest, do you think, for fans?
I think from start to finish, top to bottom, the card resembled an all-star game. Go back and look at the participants in every single match, there was something to hang your hat on. And of course that was the infamous number two match of Rock and Austin, and Steve turning heel, which was ill planned and didn't really work, but nonetheless, it was quite the compelling day with Vince and Steve's interaction and then screwing the Rock and all that stuff, which continued that rivalry, which would take us all the way to WrestleMania 19 when they had their final match on a very controversial weekend where Steve spent the night before the event in the hospital and he didn't want anybody to know that was his last match. So we didn't say about anything about it on the broadcast or going into the match. It was very hard to restrain yourself because it was very emotional for a lot of us because you knew that the Rattlesnake was done and he didn't want to go out with a lot of fanfare. He just wanted to go home. He was hurting. So he knew he was on borrowed time. And when guys get on borrowed time, man, you got to get them out of the ring. When they believe that they're on borrowed time, you got to protect them and you got to get them out of that scenario. So, that was a big deal. So, but 19 or 17 just had, oh my God, he had an Undertaker Triple H match people forget about. You had that tag team match involving those three teams I mentioned that killed it. I don't know, man, that show was just a hell of a show. Of course, the one dynamic for me personally, it was different because I worked with Paul Heyman. And he always made me better. And I think we kicked ass on that show as a broadcast team. And I know it's a proud moment for me, and I'm sure Paul would say the same thing, that was a big deal for him too.
And then, I mean, looking forward to this Sunday with the WrestleMania card, obviously the big main events are Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey, Kofi and Daniel Bryan and Seth and Brock Lesnar. How do you feel about this Sunday's WrestleMania card? Is it strong? What match are you looking forward to the most? And have you got any kind of thoughts going into it that you think needs to happen or you want to see take place?
Well, the fundamental soundness of the card is very subjective. I mean, the card's got some great matchups, really. WrestleMania's got some great matchups. Like, a lot of people seemingly are not feeling it as much as they have previous WrestleManias, and that may have been somewhat as a result of the start and stop promotion of the women. Is it going to be Triple Threat? Is it going to be Becky versus Ronda? Is it going to be Charlotte versus Becky? What's it going to be? And so finally, that's been solidified. In the same cloudy water, muddy water, is Kofi going to be in? Is Kofi out? And I understand episodic production of television, but at some point, you kind of got to declare your hand as a marketer and say, okay, here's what we got, and then build to that without the guesswork. Is this going to happen? But yeah, the card's loaded. I mean, the key thing of this card is going to be this. The length of the card is going to affect one way or the other every match. People sitting there, we forget sometimes that people that come to this WrestleMania, for example, they may have lived in the area. They may be driving to New Jersey. If so, they leave their home that morning. So by the time they get in their seats, many of these fans have already been active in the process of getting to their seats for hours. So then, you know, I heard somebody say this weekend that they thought the show was going to be 7 hours long. I find that to be incredible. I was incredulous to think about it could actually be that long, and apparently some people believe it will be that long because they've got, I don't know how many matches total, was it like 15 or something?
Yeah, I think there's 15 matches, there's a two-hour pre-show, and then the main show is scheduled to go 5 hours.
Yeah, I that's my issue. You know, maybe just because I'm older.
Oh, no, listen, I'm going to the building. It's a long thing. You've got to keep your... Got to keep your energy up, and it's tough.
Yeah, and it's hard to maintain your focus. What match do you give all your? What match do you cheer? What match do you boo? What match do you support? When do you choose to make your noise? What are you emotionally invested in? You know, heck, I don't. You know, that's it's a long show. So my point is that WrestleMania at the end of the day will be a phenomenal show. It's wide open. Who's going to steal the show? Could be of several matches. But it's really going to be dependent on who follows who, the strategy utilized in laying out the order of matches, because the last match of the night, it's got the biggest challenge because they're following every single thing, every high spot, every gimmick, every false finish, everything they follow. And that's really, really challenging. So that's a tough deal. And the women, I'm sure, will rise to the occasion. And this is their moment. This is a moment that their predecessors have been working on and since the beginning of pro wrestling, as far as women are concerned, because women, until recently, have always been treated like crap by the old wrestling promoters and the territories and the guys in the territories. And they'd like to see the women get booked because they took a spot away from one of their buddies off the roster. Ego, 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 and insecurities. And the guys that get a break are the guys that are on the first match. The first match on pay-per-view's got a They got a leg up, even though there's been a two-hour pregame show, which I don't understand the logic behind the two-hour pregame show and how many people that WWE actually expects to watch that in its entirety, because I can't even watch the OU football game, my favorite team, for 7 hours. No way. Now, yeah. I might, and I just can't do it. So it's challenging. It's got bigger than life. I'm excited for everybody, and they hope everybody – maximize their minutes, but
how do you feel about the idea? Because I guess the issues in some ways is there's so many people on the roster that, you know, Triple H had said in a conference call this week that or last week that they want to try and fit as many people on as they can. Is that the mentality to have, or do you know? Because now you're at a point where there's so many big names that it's tough to fit in on one card. What do you think the answer is? Like, how would you kind of, if you were there right now, how would you be pitching to kind of find a solution to that?
I've never been a proponent that it's everybody's right to be booked on WrestleMania. It's not. It's a privilege to be booked on WrestleMania. So because you signed a contract with a company, doesn't give you carte blanche if you're going to be booked at WrestleMania. But that's why they have matches with multiple people in it. This Andre the Giant Battle Royal is a great example. It means nothing in the big picture. It's probably going to be, for those guys on Saturday Night Live there, it's probably going to be a comedy segment. But what it does, I saw something online the other day where WWE had named 26 names to be in the Battle Royal as a part of that match. And it was just getting people booked. It's almost a reward for your hard work during the year or the year leading into WrestleMania that we're going to give you a shot on the card. And sometimes that's for their families. Sometimes it's for their own ego, own insecurities, because you're not in a match that means anything. Who's going to get over in a battle royal? What's a battle royal? What's the winner get from the battle royal? It's a space holder that allows a lot of people to be booked. And if that's the only, that's the reason, I get it. I can understand that. Everybody should be given the opportunity to earn their place on the card, but just to fill time and for the function of saying, well, let's book these guys. They worked hard all year. So, well, everybody should work hard. I don't know why people get rewarded for working hard when that's their job. But you know, I'm an old school guy, man. You earn what you get. And I believe it's a little bit overbooked in that respect, but hey, look, there'll be some people say, I heard JR on Kenny McIntosh's podcast and I disagree with everything he said because I'm going to watch every minute of those 7 hours. Cool. Good for you. It's just, for some people, it's too much. It's just too much. So hopefully it won't be too much for too many. Hey, they sold out. It's going to be interesting. You got to dress warmly because it's going to be in the 50s. So,
yeah,
it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I hope you have a great time.
Well, just a couple of last questions. One of the things I wanted to ask you about that people have been kind of talking about and people on various sides of it, with Asuka losing the SmackDown Women's title last week, she was in a kind of weird position where if she went to WrestleMania, there didn't really seem to be a big name for her to go up against that was going to be worthy of kind of a match that you'd want to see Asuka in. So they've taken the belt off her and given it to Charlotte. Do you think that was the right call? Was it better to have the SmackDown Women's belt be involved in the main event that's the three-way, or do you think they should have kept the belt on Asuka?
If they make the stipulation that it's winner-take-all in that match, where the person that wins the match leaves with both titles, then it's not a bad idea at all. I'm a big fan of Asuka. I thought her build-up to the last year's WrestleMania was outstanding. I thought she was a big-time player since I saw her the first time at the Performance Center. But I don't know what the whole story is. It's hard to judge how successful a storyline is and if it's the right finish or not until you see how it all plays out. If Ronda Rousey decides to take a leave of absence after WrestleMania, let's say for hypothetically, and she's going to think about starting a family, which has been discussed, then you've got Asuka, who's still available to be rehabilitated, that's a good word, to be, you know, one of the top premier females in the company. You can't go backwards now that the female love affair with the women and their abilities and the cat's out of the bag. You got to keep building that division. Got to keep developing new stars. And if you have Becky and Charlotte and you have Asuka, among others, you've got to still get that strong nucleus of stars that you need to get maximum growth. So, and when I first saw it, I didn't like it, but now I'm just waiting to see how it's going to play itself out. And then, but at the end of the day, anything WWE can do to put the shine back on Asuka, I think is a smart move.
And you know, when you'd written your first book and it ended at WrestleMania 15, we actually for our podcast watched WrestleMania 15 back last week, and you're in the main event and you're calling that match, and you're going to cover that more. But is that one of your favorite memories of being able to be there in Philadelphia and be able to call that first Austin Rock match? Is that high on your memory list?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I helped manage those two guys. You know, I signed Rock. negotiate his contracts in the beginning. And Austin was one of my guys in WCW that I always believed was going to be a big star. And then when I heard he cut a promo in ECW for Paul Heyman, I knew that Steve's ability to cut a cutting promo was very prominent. So, you know, I have a personal relationship with those two guys, like I did with a lot of guys on the roster. So, yeah, it was a big deal because I, quite frankly, at that time, look, I always had the cards kind of stacked against me, at least in my mind's eye, that I'm not the ideal guy to be the voice of WWE. I kind of got that message. It was whispered, and, you know, a lot of people tried. And you know, it's obvious, you know, when I got taken off Raw, put on SmackDown as Todd Grisham's sidekick, that the plans were to farm me out and to get rid of JR. I think that in 2007, as early as 2007, I think the plan was to finish me up on TV in the fall of that year. But when I got announced in Chicago as the last entrant in 2007 Hall of Fame, the ovation, luckily for me, was save my ass. And then they gave me a little bit longer to go. Then finally, in 2008, after being told Lawler and I was not going to be broken up, not a good deal to lie to people to their face. But it wasn't Vince. But also, you know, we're not going to break you guys up. Like, we'd be breaking up Madden and Summerall, the great NFL team back in the day. So that was not good. So that kind of gave me the ball started rolling downhill at that point. So, you know, that was a big deal. So our next book, the sequel to Slobberknocker, is going to be a continuation from that WrestleMania moving forward in my career. That's going to entail Monday Night Wars, the XFL, company going public, my second and third bout of Bell's palsy, you know, getting relieved of my post, my wife getting killed, leaving WWE, and starting a new career with doing something else. So this next book's going to be a strong, heavy-duty content, I think. And Paul O'Brien there in Ireland, he's killing it. He's doing a great job. We work regularly together, and we like working together. And it probably won't be the last book we write, but this is going to be a hell of an effort, I think, Kenny.
It's I mean, you could almost all the content you've just mentioned is almost enough for three or four books. Never mind one. So
yeah, no, there's a lot more of the story to tell, and when this book comes out, which probably now may be at WrestleMania next year. We wanted to be out by the holidays this year, but man, this is such a major undertaking. The story is heavy. The subject matter is really, really, you know, personal, and it's not to be, I don't want to blow by it, you know, like a throwaway. It's all important to me. So what we do on this book is going to be, I think it's going to blow away the first book. And the first book is still one of the top selling books in its category at Amazon, and which we're very grateful. And then, by the way, this weekend, in New York City and in Jersey, wherever I am, we'll have our condiments, sauces, jerky, and Slobberknocker books hardcover to sign and sell. So it's all good, man. Life is good.
And obviously, if you're listening to this as well, you can go to our website, insidetheropes.co.uk, and get JR's book signed, hardcover.
Yep.
None of your paperback rubbish. It's the proper hardcover copy. I do just want to ask you two listener questions that we had that I think would be good to bring up before we let you go. You know, because I guess you're thinking about all this stuff right now of your run in WWE. So Jamie Domican wanted to know, is there anyone that you, when you were there in WWE, that you signed or you saw being signed that you thought were going to be much bigger than they ended up being in the end?
I get asked that question a lot. It's funny how people's questions go to the half-empty glass. Instead of saying, who's the most pleasant surprise of all the people you signed, we always go to that road, who disappointed you the most? Who didn't fulfill their promise? Well, obviously, we had guys there that could have been much bigger than they were, but various things adversely affected that. Sid Vicious was one guy who had everything. He had the look, he had the heel demeanor, he had charisma, but it just didn't resonate in enough spots to establish him a long term as a superstar of WWE. I thought he had unlimited potential because he at that time was he was exactly the look and all that stuff that a lot of promoters have coveted. That would be one name. I can tell you, Shelton Benjamin was probably the best athlete of the group that we signed that included Lesnar and Cena and Batista and Orton. Shelton probably was the best pure athlete of that whole group. But the system, including myself, we didn't do a great job of helping him develop his personality and his interview skills. I think we dropped the ball there on him because he should have been much more viable. And I'm glad to see him back there now because he's got a lot to offer. But there are things like that. But by and large, you know, the greatest overachiever was Mick Foley. Vince let me hire him so I could feel what it's like to get my heart broken. So he said. So and Mick never broke anybody's heart. Mick was a great signing, and what people got to understand is that sometimes you need people of maturity and professionalism to be in your locker room. And I knew if nothing else, I could always depend on Mick Foley to be at work, to ready to work hard, and he would be patient and kind enough to work with anybody unselfishly, and he would be a terrific role model to be in our locker room. I didn't have any idea he was going to end up being as big a wrestling star as he was. I thought he would be, you know, semi-main, middle-card guy, but he'd be contributing. He'd be doing very, very well. But when he got the opportunity to run with the ball in WWE, his home territory, where he grew up going to matches as a kid, he took advantage of it. So some of those stories to be told, you know, there's all kinds of stuff here that in this book, the chronological standpoint, is going to be entertaining, I think. So it's going to be a very interesting year. It's going to be a very interesting week, Kenny.
Yeah, for sure. And then the last question we have is from Garth Jackson, who says, what do you see in the future for Velveteen Dream? And do you think the gimmick he's got right now in NXT that's working really, really well is going to convert well in the main roster? What do you see in his future?
Velveteen Dream has, there's no reason that he should not be a major player. No reason. He has charisma. He's a really good kid. I knew him before he signed there. He worked for Dan McDivitt in Maryland at the Maryland Championship Wrestling, which is a great training ground and a school and a locally owned territory. Promotion, I should say, probably. There's nothing other than injury and him shooting himself in the feet by overthinking something or creating a mental impasse for himself. There's nothing about him, his game, his look. He has boundless charisma. He is a naturally gifted athlete, and he's a student of the game, and he understands the importance of maximizing his minutes. He is a future star, and, you know, you just hope that with so many top talents that are there that he doesn't get lost in the shuffle. It's like Drew McIntyre. How the hell does he get lost in the shuffle? He's 6'5". He's 270 pounds. He's a great talker. He's intense. You believe what he's saying to you, and he works nice and snug. Everything I love. But somehow or another, he got lost along the way. So you never know when somebody's going to get lost along the way, either at their own hand or somebody else's. But if all goes well for Velveteen Dream, I fully expect that somewhere down the road, we're going to be talking about him headlining a WrestleMania someplace in his career.
And then just one thing that I'd thought of when we've been talking earlier on with AEW, is there anybody out there that AEW has not got on their books yet that you like the look of and you would quite like to see have a bigger platform than they do right now in wrestling?
Kenny, other than the guys that have been very publicly announced as being signed, I don't know who all they've got signed. And I'm not in that area. I've had two conversations in 2 years with Tony Khan. My manager, agent, is handling all that stuff. That's not my area. I'm sure that if we get this deal done, I'll be asked to give input on that area. And when that happens, I'll be ready to contribute. But there's no shortage of wrestling talent. there's no shortage of great talents. I don't think anybody needs to just continue to retread and repackage. People want new. They want talented new. And they want dedicated new. And I think that's what this company's got to try to provide, is skilled new faces. So I don't have a short list. I don't even know who's on. I know somebody told me the other day that they thought that they had signed about 40 talents. Were you aware they signed 40 talents? I wasn't.
No, I didn't hear that.
So, well, I'm just saying they haven't gone. They haven't, even though they're very socially media active, they still play their cards kind of close to the vest. So I don't know who all they've got signed other than Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, a few other guys. But I don't know who all, if they have close to 40 people signed, I don't have a damn clue who they are. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it works out. I have Tony Khan's a great student of the game. He's been a fan forever. And he's very, very intelligent. And they're fully funded, which is really cool for what we do. But the talents that are in that group that I've mentioned have very fertile, creative minds. They're going to attract talents that can come work. All those guys are known to be excellent performers bell to bell. I can't imagine that they would want to entertain hiring others to be in the ring with them that didn't have the same skill sets or close to it. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm more worried about getting my deal done or not than I am about who's already on paper. But I have faith that the system that they're trying to put in place will deliver some great in-ring wrestling talent that can be free to create through their own motivation and their own energies, their own skill set. So, hey, it's a good time. I said this before. There's never been a better time in my life to be a wrestling fan than right now. And, of course, in this great week with all these activities in New York, New Jersey, and WrestleMania, and all these shows, the G1 Supercard, and Hall of Fame, and NXT TakeOver, and my shows and all this. If I wasn't in the wrestling business, but I'm still a fan, I don't know how I could not want to be in New York and Jersey this weekend, because it's the mecca for everything. Everything wrestling is there this week. Everything. So I'm excited about just nothing less, just feeling the energy this week, and hopefully see a lot of my old friends and come to our shows.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be exciting, and obviously keep an eye on JR's Twitter to see if announcements are being made or deals have been done. JRSBBQ for the details of all the shows. The one after Raw with Conrad Thompson, Bruce Pritchard is like walking distance from the Barclays Center, so you don't have to be traveling like an hour and a half to another part of the state. So that's always good. Gotham Comedy Club on Saturday.
Very easy walk, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a very easy walk. Quite frankly, just like the show of Saturday, it's not that far from the Garden. So you'll be in the vicinity of the Garden if you're going to the G1 Super Show at the Garden. That's also right there with a easy little trip. And so I think we've done a good job of trying to do a good job of, you know, making these things accessible. So it should be a good week. I look forward to seeing everybody there.
And like I say, you can go to insidetheropes.co.uk to pick up a hardcover signed copy of Slobberknocker, which people can still pick up. And Jim, I want to wish you the best for this week. I'm going to try and make it to one of your shows myself, because they're always fun.
Okay,
they're always a fun experience. And you're right. This is going to be a great weekend for everybody, whether you're a fan or not. And hope everybody enjoys it. So thanks for joining us, Jim. I really appreciate the time.
Okay, Kenny, I look forward. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate your listeners, and I'll see you in New York City.
I can't wait.